If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
1 Peter chapter 4, beginning with verse 7. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. The title of my message today is Pressing Priorities. Pressing Priorities. The beginning of verse 7 says, the end of all things is near. Now, we may wonder why words written 2,000 years ago that say that, what does that mean? Does it have any relevance for us today? Well, the Jews looked at the flow of history in terms of the what was and what was to come. And what Peter, many scholars believe, is talking about here is the fact that with the first coming of Jesus, with the incarnation and the work of Christ on the cross, redeeming his people and being raised from the dead, was the beginning of the age to come. It was the beginning of the looking forward to when he would come and return and usher in the end of all things. Some translations see this, the end, as being translated as the turning point or the hinge, the culmination of one point ending or one stage ending and another beginning. So he sees the work of Christ on the earth as a hinge or a turning point of history. And so he says that the end of all things is near. In other words, things are moving, not fast enough for some people, but moving toward a conclusion, moving toward the end. And so he then gives instructions telling us how we should live. He says that the church must conduct itself with a realization of the times. Now, the church that Peter's writing to was a suffering church, a persecuted church. He writes about that elsewhere. And the question is, how would they conduct themselves? Well, 2020, in many ways, seems like the end of all things, doesn't it? I mean, what a year. In some ways, no end is... Now, the end of the year is in sight, but, you know, they say COVID is spiking up in various places, and so we don't know how long things will be the way they are. And as we've talked about, things may never return to what we remember as normal. But you know what? We are still the church. We are still called to live out our faith. And I've entitled this message, Pressing Priorities, because I believe more now than ever, we need to understand what our priorities should be as Christians, as the church. We need to consider, in light of the times, what is important to us. You know, I've preached a lot of sermons this year to try to encourage you. I hope they have. So the feedback has been positive to build your faith and to remind us all that the Lord is in control and to encourage us through tough times. But today, I want to focus not so much on comforting us and encouraging us, important as that is, but I want to focus on how we should live. I want to focus on what our priorities should be as members of the kingdom of God. Is that all right today? Because as I said, we still need to live out our faith. The following the priorities of the church and living out our faith is not, there's no pause button pushed on that. And so what are our pressing priorities? I want to answer the question, as the church, what must we understand to live out the priorities of our Christian life? I believe there are three things mentioned here. The first one is this: we must be focused in prayer. We must be focused in prayer. He gives two commands here in verse 7. First of all, be clear-minded. Or some other translations translate it, be of sound mind. In other words, have your thinking be characterized by reason. Make wise, mature decisions. Be focused. You know, when our world changes and when normal isn't normal anymore, sometimes it's easy to kind of throw reason out the window. People during this year and this season, people do strange things. They say strange things. They do strange things. And it seems like sometimes we throw off our inhibitions and everything we feel changes. And it's easy during emotional times to live by our emotions, isn't it? I mean, isn't it true that sometimes we feel like we're on an emotional roller coaster? Can I tell you something? It's never a good idea to make important decisions in the midst of emotional upheaval. Never a good idea. How many have discovered that? Let's just be honest, just us here, right? Those of you watching online, put your hands up. I can't see them, but put them up. We make a decision in the heat of the moment to do something, to say something, and man, more often than not, it's a bad one. Because emotions are never a good guide. So he says, be clear-minded. Are we thinking clearly? Are we focused? And then he says, be self-controlled. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. Boy, that's the hardest thing sometimes, isn't it? Self-control. Some of us have personalities. We just want to control everything around us. But the hardest thing to control is ourselves. Our passions, our tongue. James said the tongue is the hardest thing to control. And if you're like me, which I hesitate to put on you, but in some ways you're like me, like it or not, sometimes you'll say things and, I mean, it's not a tenth of a second, it's out of your mouth. You say, why in the world did I say that? Anybody relate to that? Thank you for not making me feel alone. It's hard to have control over our passions. You don't believe me, just look on Facebook during election season. It's hard to have control of our passions. What is the reason that Peter says we should be clear-minded and self-controlled? So that you can pray. You see, their prayer life had to be directed and focused, not haphazard, not hit and miss. You know, how many remember the Gulf War? Remember that? One of the things that was a revelation as much of that war was televised was the advent of smart bombs. Remember that? Guided by computer technology, and they would go right to the target. In previous wars, the method had been something known as carpet bombing. You know? You can't be real precise with where you drop the load, the bombs, but you just take a bunch of bombs and drop them over a major area and hopefully you'll hit your target. But the advent of computer technology in warfare led to the use of smart bombs, smart technology, guided, focused. And I think that's a picture of the difference between scattered, haphazard prayers and prayers that are focused. When we get down to business with God, and let's face it, sometimes our prayer life can be more like carpet bombing. You know, something akin to Lord bless everyone, everywhere, all the time, amen. Maybe not quite that simple. Lord, just bless all the people in the world and that church and, oh yeah, Pastor Tim, because he really needs it. But Lord, just bless everybody. Instead, Peter says, be clear-minded. Sometimes we just need to get away from the distractions. I'm geeky, okay? I love being connected. I love the technology. But man, it brings so much noise into our lives. The news, the social media, everything. Sometimes we just need to tune it out to be clear-minded and go to the scriptures and understand what God would have us to be thinking about. And we need to control our passions. And you know, the world will be okay if you fight the inclination, just say everything that comes into your mind. The world will not be deprived of if it doesn't have every thought that you have in your mind. Okay? Can I tell you that? And mine as well. Be focused so we can pray. Church, we need to pray. This season, this time, is not a time to push pause on our prayer lives. It's a time to become more intense. And one of the things some people have said, they have more time on their hands, you know? It depends on your situation. Some people don't, but some people say, I have more time at home, more time. And we don't have the excuse we don't have time to pray. What we don't often have, and I'm speaking to myself as well, is the will to pray. Be clear-minded and focused prayer. We need to be focused in prayer. What's the second priority we need to have? That we must be fervent in love. Fervent in love. He says, above all. Notice that, above all. That means at the top. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. That word deeply, in the King James Bible, the New American Standard Bible, is the word I've used here, fervent. Literally, in the original language, it means stretched out. It's love that is extended. Love that is broad. Love that is far-reaching. We must be fervent in love. We must be stretched out in love. Our love must be extended. And there are two areas that he mentions in which we can be fervent in love. First of all, in the area of forgiveness. He says, love covers a multitude of sins. See, if you love someone, you're willing to forgive them. And we're human. We're Christians, we're followers of Jesus, but we're human. We fail, we fall short. You ever been sinned against? You ever been mistreated? Of course you have. Love deeply. If I love you deeply, fervently, if my love is extended to you, I'm going to forgive you. That's the word of the Lord to us. It's been said that Waterford Crystal, you familiar with Waterford Crystal? It has, when you get Waterford Crystal, it is perfect. There are no flaws in it. And the reason for that is if it's created with a flaw in it, it's crushed and remade. Waterford Crystal is not made available if it has imperfections in it. But, you know, we're not Waterford Crystal. None of us are perfect. We all have flaws. We all have imperfections. And your flaws may be different from mine. See, so it'd be very easy for an area in which I'm strong, an area in which, you know, I pretty much have it together, and you have a weakness or you have a flaw it'd be very easy for me to be judgmental and, well, I don't have that problem. I've never behaved like that. But you could have a strength in an area where I'm weak, where I fail, where I sin, where I come short. And Paul said to consider one another, and to consider those who have weaknesses, lest you also fall into temptation. And so when we love deeply, we need to love each other. I said last week, there is no shortage of issues that can divide us. We know that, right? During this pandemic and during election season, racial strife and other, man. And listen, the church is not immune from that, you know? I told you last week, during election season, I heard from folks on both sides of the political spectrum and in between and everywhere in our body, because we're not cookie cutter Christians. We're different. We have differences of opinion, but we need to love one another deeply. I don't have to agree with you. I don't have to endorse your point of view. I said this last week, but I do have to love you, and you have to love me. Amen? Deeply, fervently. You know, there's the dynamic when siblings, growing up, siblings fight, brothers and sisters, and you know, they're like cats and dogs and just go at it. And man, parents have headache. You know, kids, stop fighting. But somebody bothers little brother or little sister. What happens? Big brother or big sister who antagonizes them endlessly, they'll stick up and stand up for their loved one. Amen? Right? And that's how we need to be with each other. Man, we need to be together. Love each other fervently. It's demonstrating forgiveness. And then he says, be hospitable to one another without complaining. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. What does it mean to be hospitable? It means extend hospitality. It means extend acts of kindness. And I came across this a while ago, and I thought it was interesting. There's a difference between hospitality and entertaining. See, the world entertains, the church needs to be hospitable. Entertaining says, I want to impress you with my home, my clever decorating, my cooking. Hospitality, seeking to minister, says, this home is a gift from my master, I use it as he desires. Hospitality aims to serve. Entertaining puts things before people. As soon as I get the house finished, the living room decorated, my house cleaning done, then I will start inviting people. Hospitality puts people first. No furniture will eat on the floor. The decorating may never get done, but you can come anyway. The house is a mess, but you're friends and you're welcome at our table. Entertaining subtly declares, this home is mine. It's an expression of my personality. Look and admire. Hospitality says, what's mine is yours. We're to be hospitable with one another. And that doesn't, I realize there's COVID and, you know, it's a different season. But we can still be hospitable to one another, can't we? We can still extend the love of Christ by reaching out to one another. And is there somebody who, you know, maybe you can take out to lunch today or, you know, take out to dinner or just reach out or gift them. This is such a kind body. You were so good to us last month. We didn't have Pastor Appreciation Day. We had Pastor Appreciation Month. You were so over the top, and you're just so generous. So I know I don't need to belabor this too much, but when we are fervent in love, when we deeply love one another, we're going to cover over sin. We're not cover them over in the sense of ignoring them, but we're going to extend forgiveness. We're going to be hospitable to one another. We're going to extend love as far as we can to one another. Thirdly, to follow our God-given priorities, we must be faithful in service. He talks here in the next several verses about what it means to serve. Now, I realize here in the church, our schedule is different. It's become a little more difficult to serve. But serving is still important. I want to share with you from these verses 10 through 11, Five truths here Peter reveals to us about serving. Five truths. Number one, our gifts are for the purpose of serving others. Our gifts are not badges to wear. Our gifts are not sources of pride. Our gifts are not something to say, look at me, look at my accomplishments, look at my abilities, look at how creative or how smart or how intelligent or how talented I am. Our gifts are for the purpose of serving other people. Do we see how that takes our abilities, our gifts, out of the realm of something being prideful, and it just makes it something to serve? Secondly, we find here that we minister God's grace when we serve. Boy, that's powerful. That's what Peter tells us here. We minister God's grace. What is grace? It's unmerited favor. It's a bestowment. And we extend the hands of God. Someone said we're his hands and his feet. And when we do something and we do it in the name of the Lord, we are extending God's grace to those around us. That's what takes place when we serve. You know, whether it's on the praise team or Curtis putting out the kids' videos or buying a Thanksgiving dinner for a family, when we get back to having our classes, when you teach the children downstairs, whatever we do, when we participate in evangelism or feeding the homeless, we extend the grace of God. Thirdly, we represent God when we serve. Man, if we could internalize that, we represent God. Jesus said, as much as you have done this, meaning feed the hungry, clothe the naked, shelter those in each other, as much as you have served others, you have done it unto me. So we represent Almighty God. I love the way, you've heard me reference this before, I love the way one song put it, we wear his name. Wow. We wear the Lord's name. And so when we serve someone, we do it in the name of the Lord. Number four, God enables us to serve. God empowers us to serve. He hasn't gifted you or enabled you to put your gift on a shelf. He's enabled you so that you can serve. Are you using the gifts God has for you? And during this period of time, we might have to be a little bit creative about how we serve. Can I tell you something that is just so, so powerful during a schedule disrupting pandemic? Picking up the phone and making a phone call. Sending a text, sending an email, reaching out. It's powerful. Hey, you were on my mind. I was thinking about you. How are you doing? Can I pray for you? Anything you need? Man, that's powerful. That's serving. And so we need to be a little creative in how we serve one another. Amen? Number five, God receives glory when we serve. At least he should. I do this in the name of the Lord. I've told you this this before. I've had occasions where, you know, I've been given, it doesn't happen a lot, but given too much change or something. You had that happen? Maybe a young clerk is not, the machines make it easier nowadays, but you know, some things happen. And I'll give the extra back and someone will come, oh man, you're so honest. You know, the flesh in me, the human part of me, wants to say, yeah, I am. I'm really something. You know, it's a good feeling when someone compliments you, right? But what I like to say is this, and whether they think it's weird or not, I don't care. I say, well, I'm a Christian, and I can't take something that's not mine. You say, that's a small thing, Pastor. That doesn't mean anything. Maybe not. But I prefer to give the credit for any integrity I might have to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because without Jesus, who knows what I'd do? Can we just, you know? So God receives glory when we serve. Of course, the greatest example of service is the Lord Jesus Christ. The night of the Last Supper, when he took the towel and the wash basin, He performed a servant's task. He washed the disciples' feet. And he said, as I've done to you, you should do to one another. He wasn't just talking about washing feet. We're talking about serving one another. We're called to serve, church. And when we serve, there's no room for pride. You know what? My flesh doesn't like things that kill my pride. Are you with me on that? But you know what? Anything that kills my pride, and I, you know, and as I say this today, something will happen later today or tomorrow that'll just slice my pride in half, and I'll just have a few minutes of angst over it because I just know that's the way things happen. But seriously, anything that kills my pride is a good thing. Now, I don't like it at the time. Come on, right? So when we serve, pride goes out the window because it's not about us. So this morning, whether it's during a pandemic or any other time, we live in crazy times. We live in unprecedented times. But our priorities shouldn't change. As a matter of fact, I think this is an absolutely perfect time. A perfect time as believers in Jesus Christ, as the church, to reaffirm our spiritual priorities. To declare to ourselves, to one another, to the world, that nothing changes who we are. Nothing changes our priorities and what our focus should be. We need to be focused in prayer. I want to challenge all of us, and by saying all of us, I'm challenging myself. Let's begin this week. Let's ramp up our prayer life. Let's be done with scattershot prayers. Let's be done with carpet bombing prayers. Let's become focused. Let's pray for Michelle. I asked you about a month or so ago to fast a meal or more during the week. I hope some of you are still doing that, to pray specifically for God to do a miracle for Michelle and for other needs. Let's focus in. Let's zero in. Let's to do that, we it's a battle, right? Cast aside the distractions, put the cell phone away, turn off the media, and get alone and just zero in. Zero in. And it's going to be a struggle. We need to, you know, I'm my mind's drifting, or I'm having a hard time, I better quit. No, we need to press in. Focused in prayer. I believe God responds to focused, passionate prayers, don't you? Secondly, we need to be fervent in love. Fervent in love. Our love needs to be deep. Our love needs to be wide. We need to forgive those who have wronged us. We need to be hospitable to those who are around us. We need to look for opportunities to show love. And thirdly, we need to be faithful in service. As I said, we need to be creative. We need to find ways, but we need to serve. What can you do for the body of Christ? How can you make a difference during this season? Well, Pastor Tim, I don't play an instrument. I don't sing. I don't preach. I can't teach that. I get that. But what can you do to serve the body of Christ? Focused in prayer, fervent in love, faithful in service. I believe these need to be our priorities. I believe we need to, as I said, this is a perfect time to renew our priorities. Say, Lord, no matter what happens in the world, we're going to follow our priorities. We're going to be the church. We're going to be people of the kingdom of God.